Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony, without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
We would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Oh.
We will have a prayer and then a jail report. I guess Paul will tell us about his missionary journeys again in the next week or two, and so we'll have some announcements too. So let's go to the Father in prayer. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank you, Father, for your ever-loving goodness. We thank you for your righteousness. We thank you for Christ Jesus, our only hope of glory. Thank you, Father, for the ability to preach the gospel to the whole world. Thank you for our radio broadcasts that go out from here to all the earth. We thank you, Father, for the ability to feed the poor. We thank you for our internet ministry, and we pray that you continue to protect it from the hackers. Thank you, Father, for our jail and prison chaplains and all the works that we get to do here. Have mercy on us, Father, for we're sinners. You know all those that are sick, that are on our prayer list. We lift them up to you today in prayer. We pray that you heal them and raise them up and spare them and give us all, Father, a home in heaven with thee. We pray in Christ's name, amen. Amen. We'd like to ask our brother Eddie Frazier to come, our jail chaplain, and give us a jail and prison report. Brother Eddie.
Good morning again, church. I just want to tell y'all that we had a miraculous beginning of 2017. Amen. This miraculous beginning didn't get recorded in the bulletin, I noticed the day when I saw in the bulletin. But when we went to the first Sunday, which was New Year's Day, went to the gurney unit, we had a grand total of one baptism.
Amen.
We really appreciate that. God is good, ain't he?
Amen.
We're going to continue to do what God's tell us to do. We're going to continue to do and go where God tell us to go. Y'all just continue to pray for us the rest of this year that we'll have another successful year. I got more ministers coming on board. I got female ministers, male ministers that I've been communicating with. And for the 2017, we're going to have probably more ministers than we're going to baptize.
How many people did you baptize last year, Eddie?
Oh, I don't remember. It's
500 some odd. And you've got almost 19,000 since 1998.
That's correct.
Amen. Let the church say amen. What a wonderful work that is. Can you imagine that? We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We'd like to encourage you to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's thousands of sermons on there, and we'd encourage you to go on there and download sermons. There's all kinds of written lessons and things that you can learn about the Lord. We have studied a lesson, an introduction to what we're going to be studying this coming year, which is we're going to start through the Bible again. I'm fixing to start probably next Sunday a new series on the Bible. What is the Bible? And so we're going to talk about the whole Bible for several weeks beginning next week, and then we'll go back through the seed lesson. So the lesson that we're trying to get across to you today is that this is not evolution, but it is a plan. From before the foundation of the world, God had a plan that if he created the universe, that the very best way to do things, because man would sin, would be to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for the ransom of the sins of the world. And so all of this has been a plan from before the foundation of the world. And so we studied the seed lesson, how God had made a promise that through one child, a seed, the Messiah would come. And now we're studying a subject, it's called In Christ or In Him. And so we see that all of these blessings in the New Testament are based upon us being in Christ and being in Him. It's extremely important. Now I'm going to go back and catch up a few things just to get your mind right. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 24, we're going to begin looking at this in Christ or in Him. I know that some people are going to be watching the Super Bowl and so forth over the next few weeks, and I thought that I would tell y'all that, you know, I have arranged for my funeral to be here just exactly like my wife's funeral is to be here. And I wanted to let you know I've asked some old cowboy players to come and be my pallbearers where they can let me down one last time. You have to be a cowboy fan to understand that. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely. What does it cost? Doesn't cost you a thing. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now drop down to Romans 8, 1. We studied a couple of weeks ago. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. None at all. If you'll just come and become a Christian and be in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. God will save you, even from yourself, because I'm certainly trusting Him to do that for me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "And now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." And that word triumph is 3-am-bau. It is a word that means an inaugural procession. Y'all saw Trump the last couple of days. 8 years ago, you saw Obama that had a great inaugural procession. Million of people there, everybody having a parade. Well, that's exactly what this is. God's telling us that there's going to be an inaugural parade for us, that God will always cause us to triumph in Christ. If we'll be in Christ, we'll overcome all things, we'll be able to triumph in everything that we do. And this church is a great example of that. Who'd think that the littlest church on the face of the earth could have 21 international radio broadcasts and 6 national radio broadcasts, and we don't have any money? How long do y'all think it's been since we got a check from Africa or India or China? I wonder why the whole world doesn't broadcast to Africa and India and China. Well, because you don't get no checks from those people. That's why. And so we're not in it for the money. We're looking for souls, and we want to encourage out there in our radio audience, we want to establish 100,000 of you people to have house churches in your home. And we want you to go out into the highways and the hedges and invite the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind and invite them into your home and teach them about Jesus, and you can have a church in your own home. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath," past tense verb, already happened, "who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly," meaning the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, "in the heavenly, in Christ." All the blessings that God has, He withheld none. They're all in Christ. So if you want the blessings of God, you better be found in Christ. Ephesians 1:4, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world," before God ever said, "Let there be light." It doesn't mean that God chose us and rejected others, but rather God chose a foreordained plan, and that plan was to have a people unto Himself to be able to adopt His children, us, in Christ Jesus. So if you'll simply believe, put your faith and trust in God to save you, repent of your sins, confess Christ as Lord, be baptized into Christ, you will become a Christian. You will be part of this plan, this foreordained plan before the foundation of the world. In Titus 1:2, it says, "In the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Throughout the Bible, we are told that this plan has always been, this is the manifold wisdom of God, this plan. In Ephesians 1:5, "having predestinated us," the church, "unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself." Let's drop down now. And last week we were talking in the book of Philippians, and so we're going to go there and catch your mind up with some of the things we covered last week. In Philippians 1:13, "so that my bonds in Christ," notice that Paul is chained with a chain, he's in bonds, but he's in Christ. "Notice that my bonds in Christ are manifest, be able to be seen in all the palace." Notice that's not place, it's a palace, it's Nero's palace. And actually the word there is Praetorian Guard, the bodyguard, like the Secret Service. The bodyguard of the emperor is the one who guarded capital prisoners. So when Paul appealed to Caesar, he began to be guarded by the Praetorian Guard. And so these people all recognized him. And over a period of time, practically the entire Praetorian Guard had guarded him for one time or another. And they all came surely to reason that Paul's imprisonment, it must have become generally known among the Praetorian Guard, was not connected with any kind of crime or misdemeanor, but derived solely from his faithfulness in preaching the gospel of Christ. In Philippians 2:1, "And if there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercy, if you have these things, in other words, if there's anything at all to your Christianity, then do the following things. What following things? Well, the major one is dropped down to verse 5. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus presented the supreme example of unselfishness. He is totally unselfish. He had no selfishness in his nature whatsoever, and he is a supreme example of unselfishness. In Philippians 3:9, and to be found in him, it's almost like the word strive is in parentheses here. You must strive to be found in him. You have to work to be found in him. You have to want to try to overcome so that you can be found in him. And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The New Testament teaches that these people who have believed and have been baptized into Christ with the admonition that they are to be found in him, whether when death overtakes them or whether the Lord shall come first, either way, we should strive to be found in Christ. In Revelation 14:13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow thee. So when you die, I want you to die in the Lord. I want you to be part of the Lord forever. In Philippians 3:9, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, like the Jews, but having my own, which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Now notice that there are two types of righteousness. The first that comes from men, and the second is that which is achieved by God. This righteousness that's not achieved by us, but was achieved by faith only. And notice whose faith it is. By the faith of Christ, our Savior, and his perfect obedience. Philippians 3:9 again, look at it. And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. In the Greek language, there is objective genitive and there's subjective genitive. Objective genitive is for me to have faith and have it in Christ. Subjective genitive is what Christ did. It's his faith. Do you think he had faith when he let them people nail nails through his hands? He said, I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh my life. That took faith. I'm not ready to let any of you guys nail me up to a board. That took faith. And so the faith of Christ saved us, and that term faith of Christ is again subjective genitive in that it means the entire New Testament. If you're going to be a Christian, you need to believe the entire New Testament, not just three verses of it and a bunch of cool whip and a bunch of feel-good stuff and a bunch of prosperity gospel. These preachers, they tell you, oh, if you just believe and put all the money that you have in the offering plate, God will give you a new Cadillac. God will make you rich. God will give you this and give you that. Don't you get tired of hearing that garbage? I mean, God can't be bribed. What does he need your money for? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything. Well, what he needs your money for is to support the work of the church and to help other Christians. That's what he needs your money for. But he sure won't take any of it to forgive you. I can tell you that right now. And so it takes both of these. It takes pure New Testament Christianity, which is subjective genitive, and it takes my believing and my trusting and my having faith in Christ Jesus who died for me. That's objective genitive. It takes both of those, both of that kind of faith. Faith and trust, according to the New Testament, is what will save us and nothing else. The King James Version renders this faith of Christ, and this student, me, is simply not willing to allow that modern translators had a better understanding of Greek than the people who did the Authorized Version. They don't know any more about it than these great scholars who translated the Bible over hundreds of years from 1300 to 1600. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. There are three mountain peaks here. One, the resurrection of Christ. Two, the fellowship of Christians with him in suffering. Has any of y'all suffered? Man, I've been suffering since I became a Christian. There's always something, always some kind of problem, which brings up something. Don't anyone around here give any money to anybody, send them to me. Nobody is allowed to give rides home or anything. We have buses and preachers to do that. So don't give any rides, don't give any money out. We handle those things. The glorious resurrection to eternal life at the last day is a great thing that we have to look forward to. In Philippians 3:14, I press towards the mark, towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are to be yearning and striving for spiritual perfection. It's like the ancient Olympic Games. Those people ran in a race, but only one person wins the race, right? Well, these are just an excellent illustration in which the agony of defeat, the ecstasy of victory, seems starkly today, just like it was viewed by the apostles 2,000 years ago. You're either going to win or lose. And I want you to win the race. But there's only one way to win the race, and that's faith in Christ Jesus. In the book of Colossians, again, another prison epistle. Paul wrote these epistles while he's got a chain on. He's chained up to a Roman soldier. Colossians 1:2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus. Notice that people that are in Christ, they're described as saints. Saints are the holy ones. It's not that you're holy, it's that you're counted as holy. You're reckoned as holy. You're counted as if you are holy. It allows God to call those things which are not as though they are. To call those things which are not holy as though they are holy. And the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we see the mixed nature of that church in Colossae. That church was Jew and Gentile, grace, charis, and peace, shalom, he said to these people who were half Jews and half Gentiles. So they were a mixed congregation, just like we're a mixed congregation. In Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom, everything that makes you wise are hid in Christ, and knowledge is all hid in him. The epitome of truth is in him. Nelson read this verse to say, in Jesus are hid all the attributes of the deity, all the attributes of God. Hidden means contained, waiting to be revealed at their time, which at the proper time, which is, of course, the second coming of Christ. A man named Butterick wrote extensively on Jesus Christ as being the truth. In John 14, it says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Doesn't leave any room for Muhammad. Doesn't leave any room for Buddha. Doesn't leave any room for any other kind of Savior whatsoever except the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's all.
Amen.
Man always thinks that he can improve and it's got the answer for everything. The ultimate wisdom for mankind is not another formula or another gadget or a new discovery. It seems like that we're in a hall, and at the hall, at the end of the hall, is three doors. And you open the door, and there's a prize, supposedly. And so we open the door, we think we got the answer, and what it is, it's another corridor with another three doors at the end of it. And we keep going down those corridors. Well, one of the corridors that we've gone down that I think is going to cost us the world is war, as an example. James says, whence comes wars and fighting among you? Cometh not from the lusts at war in your members. World War I, American troops went to Europe singing over there, over there, over there. We won't be back till it's over, over there. Say a prayer, over there. They sang that song and went over and was slaughtered by the thousands, hundreds of thousands, and ran into the machine guns to win World War I. The war to win all wars. There'd be no more wars. But out of it came the injustice that brought World War II. So we were a country that didn't want to get in war. Charles A. Lindbergh had a political thing going, saying we're not going to be involved in foreign wars throughout the 30s, and we're not going to get involved in World War II. And then, of course, the Japanese attacked us in Pearl Harbor, and as we fought that war, we began, and we fought, terrible casualties, and we finally invaded an island called Peleliu. The 1st Marine Division invaded Peleliu, and were shot to pieces. The Japs all went into caves and hid, and they called it the Cornered Rat Defense. So the next big island they invaded was Iwo Jima, and 3 divisions of Marines were all shot to pieces because the Japs all hid and shot them down out in the open. Then the next island we invaded was Okinawa, and 6 divisions were all shot to pieces. Over 60,000 casualties invading Okinawa. So Truman looked at the next island we're going to invade, called Kyushu, one of the Japanese home islands, and the military estimated we'd have 1 million prisoners. And he said, well, there's an answer for that. We've got the Manhattan Project. We got the atomic bomb. We'll just drop the atomic bomb on. So they dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, and then later they dropped the atomic bomb on Nagasaki. You know what Nagasaki contained? It contained every Christian in Japan. We had tried to evangelize Japan, and it was a death sentence to be a Christian in Japan. And the only Christians that were converted, all the Christians were in one area, and they were in Nagasaki, and we wiped them out. I wonder why somebody didn't tell Truman that. And so we think that, well, we've got the answer to everything now. We've got the A-bomb, the atomic bomb. We think that we can play with fire and not be burned. You know, they did a study just recently that I was reading about that the results of a limited nuclear war between Pakistan and India, in which each country only launched 50 Hiroshima-sized bombs against the other country, the result of that would destroy 100 cities. And the burning of those 100 cities would send 5 million tons of ash into the stratosphere, and we would have winter, global winter in this world for 3 years. We'd lose the crops, and most of the world would perish. Now we think, well, the cat's out of the bag, man. The cat's out of the bag. It sure is. The bombs that they dropped on Hiroshima, those are little bitty bombs. Today, we have bombs that are 1,000 times bigger than the Hiroshima bomb. Can you imagine something 1,000 times bigger than a bomb that'll destroy a city? And not only that, we have 1,600 delivery systems, both us and the Russians, that each one of them are like Hydra. They got what's called MIRV, independently targeted reentry vehicles, that are 10 bombs on each missile. So we really have 1,600 times 10, 16,000 nuclear warheads that we're prepared to shoot at the Russians, and they're prepared to shoot at us. Now, for every atomic reactor in the world, the byproduct of atomic reactors that make electricity, the byproduct of it is plutonium, and every reactor makes enough plutonium every year to make 10 bombs. And 32 countries have reactors. Does that make y'all feel confident? It doesn't make me feel confident at all. I think that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
And nothing else is the answer. And unless we get this word out to the whole earth, they're going to destroy themselves. You think that there isn't a nut in this world that'll use that stuff? Well, we know that they are. We know that most of them are nuts. We know that most of them are evil. So I encourage you to go back to Jesus Christ. In Colossians 2:5, there's your little history lesson. Colossians 2:5, so though I be absent in the flesh, and yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Notice that it's not faith on Christ, it's faith in Christ. This order and steadfastness are unusual words, they're military words. Paul is in prison. He's hooked up to a Roman soldier. Order means military discipline. Steadfastness is strong. And so the church is to stand against all enemies with a military discipline. And we should be attacking with the gospel like of a military phalanx attacking the entire world with the gospel, and I'm telling you, the Main Street Church of Christ is doing that. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, and we'd encourage you to go download them. We've had almost 150,000 hits so far this month. It looks like we're going to have another 250,000 hits this month. We're up to almost 3 million hits a year we're going to be hitting on that website. Isn't that wonderful? You know, 3 million of anything's a bunch of them, even if it's ants. It's a whole bunch of them. Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, live in him, live like he lived, follow his path, follow his teaching, walk every day and live like Christ. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Having been rooted, it should be translated, in him once and for all. When were you rooted in him? Well, you were rooted in him when you believed. When that belief became faith. See, faith is like belief with legs. It's an action word. It's a verb more than it's a noun. When your belief became faith, then you confessed and repented and you were baptized into Christ. You were permanently rooted in Christ Jesus. And so you were rooted in him once and for all, being built up continually upon that foundation. If you're growing and become Christians and becoming better, and I'm telling you, just because I'm a preacher don't mean that I don't need to become better, because I do. I need to become more holy. I need to become more right. I need to become more Christ-like every day. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest, notice any man, that's really not a good translation. Beware lest you're spoiled through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Take heed that no man make a prey of you through philosophy and empty deceit. Some religions are all philosophy, and I encourage you to turn away from that and stay with Christ. Colossians 2:9, for in him, or in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Greek word here for Godhead or deity is the abstract noun for God. It includes not only the divine attributes, but also the divine nature. In Christ is everything. Almost every word of this verse is emphatic. Thus, the meaning is all the fullness of God, not a mere reflection of the Supreme Being, but the Supreme Being himself. Every bit of his attributes dwell and remain forever in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:10, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Whether he's ruling down here on earth or not, he's ruling all the heavenly beings, and he's moving these people down here, these governments, these countries, these people, these leaders. He's moving them all like chess piece on a chessboard. And he's got a plan. And that plan is the second coming of Christ at the very right time in history. And who knows, could happen today, could happen 1,000 years from now. But I don't think it's going to take long. Colossians 2:11 begins a series of verses that we're going to read. But I want you to notice in whom, or in him, or in Christ. Also, you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Circumcision of the Jews was to cut off the foreskin of a man. But here we're talking about the spiritual circumcision that Christ gives us. And what is that? What does he cut off from us? He cuts off from us sin, and it's found in the next verse what the circumcision of Christ is. It's buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation. See that word operation? That word is energia, energos, the energy, the working of God. That word is always translated works in the New Testament, except here, and I think the doctrine got in the way of the translators and given a proper translation there. People will tell you, oh, you don't need to be baptized. That's a work. We're not saved by works. Well, I want you to notice who works in this verse in your baptism. Does Kelly do any work? Do I scrub myself up, get a hard bristle brush and soap, man, scrub myself up, pour bleach all over myself, scrub myself up? Is that who works in baptism? No. Who does it say works? Through the faith of the operation or the work of God, who has raised him from the dead. And so that verse is reflected when Ananias told Paul, "And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and have thy sins washed away, calling upon the name of the Lord." God alone does the work in baptism. Colossians 2:13. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh has he quickened together with him." Made alive is what quickened means. "Having forgiven you all your trespasses." He's going to make you alive, and not only alive, but alive forevermore if you'll simply be in him. Verse 14, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and contrary to us, and took it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Speaking of the second coming of Christ, Paul says, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that sleep or are dead," what a beautiful metaphor, "are dead in Jesus will God bring with him." So at the second coming of Christ, God sends Christ back. Christ comes and he brings the disembodied souls of all the dead with him. And so the dead rise and he reunites their disembodied souls with their new glorified resurrected body. And then it's going to tell us we go on and we're going to new heavens and new earth to be with Christ. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent." That word prevent means go first. We won't have first place. The dead are going to have first place. And in fact, since we all must go through a transformation, they're a step closer to this resurrection than we are, because we must all be changed, and they've already undergone some of the change. And so they're a step closer, and God's going to bring them with us. Those of us who remain to the coming of the Lord shall not go first before those that are asleep. Verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead," what? "In Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall live together 1,000 years here on earth and reign with Christ." Where is that? Where'd I read that? Anybody got a verse that I read that from? Huh. Must not have read it, huh? Must have made that up. Must have made that up. It's not in there, is it? "Then we which are alive and remain shall be" what? "Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord." So it's not in there. Huh. Somebody's got to be confused. And so if you have two opinions, one of them is certainly wrong, and both of them might be wrong, but one of them is certainly wrong. And we know the one that's certainly wrong is the one that says that we're going to reign down here. The one we know is right is we're going to go up there. Now, how all these things work, we don't know. That's called faith. 2 Timothy 1:9, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." There's that clause again. We've seen that over and over and over again. This clause has been telling us that from before the foundation of the world, God has had a plan, and that plan was to redeem mankind in Christ Jesus. There's over 300 specific prophecies in the Old Testament that tell us exactly when Christ is going to come. The very year that he's going to begin his ministry, it tells us the very things that he's going to do. He's going to heal like no other man's ever healed. He's going to die, he's going to be buried, and he's going to raise again the third day. All that's in the Old Testament, which was written before Christ was ever born, and we got copies of it from before Christ was ever born. This isn't a humbug. This is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and I want you to come to him. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Grace, unmerited favor with God, is found in Christ Jesus. Boy, I sure don't deserve it. I sure can't merit it. I sure can't earn it. But just because I'm in Christ Jesus, when God looks at me, he can't see anything but the blood of Christ all over me. Man, I'm clean with him. I got a new start with him. I can begin every day the rest of my life with a new start with him. God is long-suffering for a sinful man or woman. He wants you to come and believe and put your faith and trust and confidence in him. 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation, which is where? In Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You want eternal glory? Well, you better be found in Christ. That great verse that everybody knows, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, is that what that says? Doesn't say that, does it? Doesn't say whosoever believeth on him, does it? It says, whosoever shall believeth what? In him. So you ought to figure out how to get in him, shouldn't you? This word in is a word that's very important for you to find out what it means. It comes from the Greek word is. It's very, very important. It's very important. You can go unto Jerusalem and go all the way up to the wall and never go into Jerusalem. And I don't want you to do that. I want you to get into him. I want you to be in Christ, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Doesn't say shall not, does it? It says should not perish. Wouldn't it be awful if you came to church at Main Street this morning and you sit out there and you said, well, I believe in Jesus, and you didn't do nothing about it, and you didn't get yourself into Christ? Wouldn't it be a dirty, rotten shame? See, there's no reason that you should perish. There's no reason at all. You can do something about it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. Are the demons saved? So we better do something more than what the demons do, hadn't we? We better put some faith and trust and confidence in God in addition to that belief. We better be confessing Christ as Lord. Jesus said, you confess me before men, I confess you before the Father. We better repent of our sins. For godly sorrow worketh repentance, and God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. In 1 John 5:11, and this is a record that God has given to us eternal life, and that this life is where? In his Son. And I want you to be in his Son, because that's where eternal life is at. It's in his Son. It's free. You can't buy it. It's in his Son. How do you get in his Son? Galatians chapter 3, beginning verse 26. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, that left out the word the faith. The Greek clause right there, it says children of God by the faith, Greek tis pistous, That clause means all of New Testament Christianity. It doesn't mean you just having faith. It means you having the proper kind of faith, New Testament Christianity faith. That's the faith. For you're all the children of God by the faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized, there's a word, into. Not unto, but into. Who have been baptized into Christ, that's the last thing that you need to do in your conversion experience, have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, black nor white, doesn't matter what race we are, we're all equal and we're all one in Christ Jesus. There's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female. Women are worth something too, they sure are. They sure are. For y'all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What a wonderful verse. God told Abraham way back here in history that in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And if we're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, then we get that first promise God gave Abraham. And what was that? I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ. There did it again. Into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. Therefore being buried with him by baptism. Into death. And like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. If you're here this morning and you want to become a Christian, now's your opportunity. It's not a big deal at all, and it'll become the greatest deal of your whole life, but it's so simple. Just march right down to the front down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. Repent of your sins. Be sorry for your sins. Go the other way in life and be baptized into Christ. Rise to walk in newness of life. If you're here this morning, you've sinned, you need to help the church or the prayers of the church. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking, I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.